there anyone here who doesn't want their taxes lowered? If you do, we have a doctor standing by. We'll get to you as quickly as we can. He also said in that same Associated Press interview, and he denies it now, and he denies nearly everything he says, but he said in that same interview that those who have above median incomes would have higher taxes. He left out one thing. He didn't know what median income was in America, even though he'd been running for president for about 3 years. The median income for an American family is $14,000. That's if the husband works, if the wife works, and if the children work. That's the American family. The median income is $14,000. Now, I suggest that instead of having tax increases in that bracket, there ought to be tax cuts in that bracket. And that's what President Ford has proposed. President Ford has proposed tax cuts tied to cuts in federal spending. That seems responsible. That seems reasonable. That seems the direction most Americans want to go. And if your child wants something, or someone in your family wants something, your budget won't stretch that far? Do you lack compassion? Are you told you don't care because you don't go out and go into debt to buy that for your child? I don't think so, and that's the attitude President Ford has had. We're concerned about all Americans. We're concerned about their health care. We're concerned about their jobs. We're concerned about their education, just as much as the liberal Democrats who stand up and say, I've got a solution for you. Let's spend more of your money. Let's tax you more. Let's spend and spend and spend, because we know all the answers. And I just suggest that there's much more to it. So I would hope in the last 2 weeks, we can count on the good people of Texas and the good people in this area, not just to vote for President Ford, but to work for President Ford. I've figured out if Ford makes it, I'm going to make it. So, so don't worry about me. Just work for President Ford. I've also figured out that there's a place for Governor Carter in this world. It's Plains, Georgia. There's been a lot of growth there and a lot of development. And I think they need a man of his talent. Here's a man who started out 32 points ahead in the poll, and I would say today we're dead even. We're dead even because the American people demanded to know the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And he hasn't told them the truth about where he stands on the issues. As I got off the plane, somebody said, why are you coming here? There's so many Democrats in this area. Well, I hope there are a number of Democrats in this audience. I won't ask for a show of hands. Well, maybe I would. Are there any Democrats here? Good. We need your help. That counts double, unless you're at the wrong meeting. I hope you're here because you're for President Ford. But I think there's a great opportunity for America. I don't think it's a partisan opportunity. It seems to me that you have a critical choice to make. And I tried to say it very plainly on television last Friday night. If you want more spending and more federal control, as I said earlier, more interference in your daily lives, whether it's busing or something else, they've got a ticket for you. It's a ticket to nowhere. It's the Carter-Mondale ticket. That's a ticket for more and bigger government and bigger spending and more interference. But if you're concerned about spending, concerned about the future of this country, concerned about our strength, then we've got a ticket for you called the Ford Dole ticket. And I just think the choice is yours. So I guess I could just conclude by asking for your help. by asking you to join us, and not because we want to be elected for some selfish reason. I assume there's some of that. I know President Ford wants to be elected. I'm certainly willing to be elected. You know, I don't know many people running for office who don't want to be elected. So I'll fall in that category. But as I again tried to say, without reverting back to debate too often, because it's history now, I really believe we have more faith in the people. I really believe President Ford has that faith in the American people. You haven't heard President Ford stand up and say, trust me, trust me. I'll tell you what I'm going to do after the game is over. You haven't heard President Ford say that. He has a record, and you can make your choice based on that record. We're not perfect. We've made mistakes. And so for the good of Texas, the good of Corpus Christi, the good of my state of Kansas, and I just say, really, for all Americans, we're going to make that choice. We're going to make that choice. The people are going to make that choice because it's the right choice to make. And I'm going to tell President Ford when I talk with him tomorrow or the next day that I've been to Corpus Christi, Texas, and I want to tell him on my final word that he had a great response here. Can I do that? Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Dr. Fry, and I appreciate very much this opportunity. And I'm very pleased. It's New Aces, right? Have it right? Good. See, I know where I am. And I know where I've been, and I know where I'm going, and I want to tell you about it. Dr. Fry was talking about war injuries. I don't want to dwell on that, but I'll just tell you a little story. When I first went to Congress in 1961, they always send new members out across the country to talk for other members, and they used to send me to very safe areas where I wouldn't make any difference, where I couldn't hurt anyone or probably couldn't help much either. So I went to Indiana sometime during my first year, and it was for a fundraising dinner. When I arrived Saturday afternoon, the advance ticket sale had already reached 10, and not like a Farm Bureau meeting, but the county chairman was petrified and frustrated, so he rushed me out to the radio station trying to figure out some way to drum up a crowd. So I had a big interview on the radio station, and they said that I was born, of course, and raised and all those other things necessary. And I went through the war story and all that. And as we left the studio to go back to this town in Indiana, the announcer was summarizing our visit, and he said that Congressman Bob Dole represents western Kansas. It's a big farm area, and he was born and raised. He said prior to World War II, he was a pre-medical student. He suffered a serious head injury in the war, and then went into politics. So I don't know how you got here, but I know how I got here. So now I know that there are Republicans in this audience, and I know there are Democrats in this audience, and I know there are Independents in this audience, and there may be a few who just came to the wrong meeting, but I understand that. I'm not here to offend anyone. I'm here to talk to you about philosophy. That's what it's all about, philosophy. I'm not going to talk about peanut butter or anything like that. I drink pineapple juice myself. It's a lot better for you than peanut butter. For one thing, it doesn't stick to the roof of your mouth. So, but I'm not going to... I'm not going to come on too strong. I don't want anybody to faint here. Last night, a fellow fainted right in front of me. Either one or two things happened. He either didn't feel well or I talked too long. So I don't want that to happen tonight. But I am very proud to be here. I'm very proud to be an American, very proud to be in politics, very proud to be running with President Ford, very proud to be talking to you about a philosophy of government, a philosophy of agriculture, you name it, the philosophy is different. I've been saying, in fact, I was down in Houston last Friday, I had a little thing there in the theater with me and well, he's my friend. I said that during the debate or whatever it was, but Senator Mondale is a friend of mine. We serve in the Congress together, but we have very different philosophies. My party labels Republican, his party labels Democrat. The party labels ought to be Bob Dole conservative and Walter Mondale liberal, then you'd understand it more clearly. That's really what it's all about. I don't care what label you have on your jacket or what ballot you ask for in a primary. I'm concerned about a philosophy. I want to be your philosophical neighbor. Kansas isn't too far from here geographically. It really isn't important where we live. It's important how we think and what we think about and our vision of government and what it should do and should not do for the people. And I find many of my friends in Kansas not so much worried about what government does for the people, but what government does to the people. And it does it to Democrats and Republicans and independents. It doesn't make any difference. Now, first of all, I would thank everybody in this audience, because farmers are fiercely independent. Farmers are strong and farm families are strong. We're concerned about America. We're concerned about freedom. We're concerned about liberty. Everyone in this audience knows that we're the greatest country on earth. We can stand around and tear it down and criticize our leaders. But I don't know many people in this audience who'd want to leave it for some other country. We're the greatest nation on the face of the earth, make no mistake about it, whether we're Democrats or Republicans or independents. And we have a lot of faults as a nation. We have a lot of faults as individuals. There are probably not more than 400 or 500 perfect people in this audience. And most of them haven't come in yet. In fact, I can't think of anyone other than myself. But seriously, we have our faults as a nation. We have our faults as individuals. But I'm really concerned in America. I'm concerned about our strength, and I'm talking about military strength, not for the sake of spending your tax dollars, because you work hard for your money. You don't want to pay any more taxes than you have to. You shouldn't have to pay any more taxes than necessary. One thing we can't cut down on, as we look at Russia, as we look at the People's Republic of China, we can't start chopping away at our defense budget, because I just sort of have a gut feeling that if we're going to reach any arms agreement with Russia, if we're going to have continued peace in this world, it's going to be because America's number one, not because we're number two. I don't want to be number two in the world. I want to be number one for the sake of peace. And that's what it's all about. We can't be number two. So let's take a look at the record. Let's take a look at the record. I said I'm the conservative. Senator Mondale's a liberal. I hope I don't have some knee-jerk reaction to defense spending and vote for all defense spending. I haven't. I'm on the budget committee. We've taken hard looks at defense spending. There is waste. We ought to cut it out, whether it's in agriculture, defense, education, or whatever. But on the other hand, let's just take one example, the B-1 bomber. We're still flying, and I assume some in this audience, maybe in World War II, were flying the B-52 bomber. They're 20, 30 years old. A 30-year-old airplane in today's world. That's our first line of defense. We think we ought to upgrade it. We're talking about the B-1 bomber to give us more security and more flexibility, more strength for peace. But my opponent votes against it. My counterpart, Governor Carter, says it ought to be delayed. And we could go down the list and down the list. And we could talk about this cut and this weapon system and that weapon system. That probably wouldn't mean a lot, but this might mean a lot. You look out in this audience, if you're a mother or grandmother or father or grandfather, whatever your economic status may be, doesn't make any difference. Whether you're black, white, or Spanish-speaking, doesn't make any difference. The great thing about America today is that we're not at war, we're at peace. And no one is being fired at. And as I said on TV last Friday night, we're not having memorial services anywhere in America for someone who was killed in a war we didn't want to win or didn't know how to win or didn't know how to react, shouldn't have gotten into or whatever. And that's partly because of President Ford's leadership. For the first time this year in the past 10 years, we have real growth in our defense budget. And again, it's not to waste your tax dollar. It's to start the B-1 bomber. It's to add 3 new divisions to our army. It's to upgrade the military and to make us strong. Make us strong for peace. Now, I say that's not a Democratic issue, a Republican issue, or an independent issue. It's an American issue. It's an American problem. And I just hope and just ask you to look at our records. I'm willing to risk my record in the area of defense. President Ford will risk his record in the area of defense. When you stop to think about it, what's so wrong with America if we're at peace? Is there anything more important than being at peace? I can't think of anything more important than being at peace. Is there anything more important than being respected by your friends abroad, and just as important, or perhaps more important, being respected by your adversaries abroad? And they respect us, and they respect President Ford, because he's had the leadership and he's had the experience, and he knows about our strength, he knows our limits, he knows our potential, he knows the potential of the American people. And so I just think from time to time, and I'm certain Farm Bureau members, regardless of your party, express the same view. It's about time we talked about what's right with America. And I think there's a lot right with America. We have more people working now than ever before in history, 88 million. We've cut inflation in half. In the past 18 months, nearly 4 million people have gone back to work. And we have freedom. We have freedom in America. But there's a philosophy in America that says to you and says to other Americans, we think we know, we think the government knows better than you know how to spend your money and how to design programs. And so our master plan, the liberal master plan, is to take your money and to devise some new program to spend your money and then tell you and convince you and somehow persuade you that we're doing something for you. Now, I know many Americans don't sit down and read the Republican platform and the Democratic platform. Some Democrats would never touch a Republican platform. And some Republicans would never touch a Democrat platform. But you ought to read those documents. Or you ought to read a summary of those documents. They're quite different. The Democrat platform, just to give you a few little examples, says we ought to license and register handguns. The Republican platform says nothing in that area. We don't want gun control. I don't know how many here want gun control, but I doubt that very many want gun control, want the federal government prying into that area of your lives. We say in our platform, and President Ford has said very clearly, that we're against mandatory busing. My counterpart, Senator Mondale, is known as Mr. Busing in the Senate. We believe in a free agriculture. We don't believe in government-held grain reserves that can be used to depress domestic prices. We believe in Section 14B of the Taft-Hartley Law. We think it's a good provision. The Democrats want it repealed because here again they think that people ought to be forced to join a labor union. We think it ought to be voluntary. That's a matter of philosophy. That's not a Republican view or a Democrat view. I think that's a view held by most Americans. And we can go on and on and on. But I say if you're concerned about freedom, concerned about freedom of choice, concerned about voluntary programs in agriculture or whatever, I don't care what your party label is. You've got a choice, and you've got a responsibility, and you've got an obligation. Now, many people write to me as a member of Congress after some legislation has passed. They said, why did you let this happen? Why didn't you stop it? Well, I'll tell you why I didn't stop it. We're in the minority. Those with a conservative philosophy in the Congress are in a minority. And the only way we've been able to stop some of these programs is by a presidential veto. And President Ford has done that. And he's vetoed some 62 bills. And he's been criticized for that. The opposition says he lacks compassion, he lacks leadership, he doesn't care about the poor. If he didn't care about the poor, he'd have signed the bills. He would have heated up inflation. That's what it's all about. And I would just give you one little illustration. Let's say you live on a fixed income. You're retired. And I see one or two here that might be retired. Not many. And say you have $6,000 a year income. And the inflation rate is 10%. That's $600 you've lost in purchasing power. Can you think of any more cruel tax than increasing inflation? And what else does inflation do besides rob you of purchasing power? Well, when people find prices going up and up and up and they lose their purchasing power, they start saving their money. They have to. They can't spend it. And the demand for goods goes down. The demand for goods goes down, people go out of work because there are no jobs. And it doesn't do any good to pass some federal program, whether we call it the Humphrey Hawkins Bill or what, and say the government's going to put everybody to work. It's not the government. Again, it's your tax money. It's going to cost $20 billion or $40 billion. How much will the American taxpayer tolerate? How much will the American taxpayer tolerate? And I would say to farmers, if you think 14B is important, and I think farmers should think 14B is important, I think that's the Farm Bureau position, at least it is in my state, they want to preserve it. If you think that's important, take a look at what we call Proposition 14 in the state of California, which is on the ballot there, and among other things provides, if it passes as an amendment to the Constitution of the state of California, will give labor organizers a right to come on your property for 3 hours a day to organize farm workers. Now, where are we going to stop? Where do private property rights end? And I said in my debate last week, I think George Meany ought to have some influence, but he shouldn't have it all. He shouldn't have it all. Now, George Meany's a Democrat. I expect him to be for Democrats. Beyond that, he's the labor leader, a very powerful, the most powerful labor leader in this land. And he has a great deal of influence. I said, and I say again, he should have that influence for those who belong to labor unions, but 75% of the American working men and women don't belong to labor unions. He should have influence, but he shouldn't have control. He shouldn't have domination. And you know which party he supports. And you know the price they're going to exact. Repeal of Section 14B to start with, and probably common situs picketing, number two, and a lot of new federal fuzzy programs, number three, and they'll go up and down the line. So I think farmers in particular should take a hard look at the tickets. As far as agriculture is concerned, I think we have essentially a good program. It needs to be updated. It needs to be modernized. But here again, we're moving in the right direction, getting farmers off the backs of American farmers, or the government off the backs of American farmers, the direction farmers, for the most part, want to go. And I think the president has made some steps in the right direction with his edict on import quotas, raising the loan rates. But we're not perfect. We made a mistake, or President Ford made a mistake on the embargoes. It left a bad taste in the minds of many, many farmers because they saw that as a symbol of government interference. And I'm not going to try to sidestep that mistake because I agree it was a mistake. That's behind us. And one reason that mistake was made, again, was the great influence of George Meany. Plus the fact they wouldn't load the ships. And the president thought he did the right thing. But he said, he's made it very clear, not again, not again, not again unless there's some extreme emergency that I don't foresee. But again, it's in their platform. It's in the Humphrey Hawkins bill, which requires export licensing. And Governor Carter has said in a Reader's Digest interview that one of the causes of inflation were excessive grain sales to Russia, which means we shouldn't have sold that much wheat to Russia. And I just think, and I'll admit to my prejudice, because I figured out if Ford's elected, I'm going to be elected. So maybe I'm prejudiced. But I also know a little about agriculture. I've been 8 years on the House committee. I served 8 years on the Senate committee. I think my record's a good one. You probably wouldn't agree with all of it. But I've been there. And one of my roles as vice president will be to work in the export area for the American producer, the American farmer. That's where our future is, whether it's rice production or wheat production or whatever. It's going to be in exports. And so I just suggest, as we look over the issues. I said today in Oklahoma City, where it was about 30 degrees, my counterpart, Senator Mondale, was out in sunny California talking about the energy policy. I sort of thought as I stood there shivering, what would happen if we had the Democrat policy? They don't want to deregulate anything. They want more regulation. I'd rather pay a little more for gas and be warm than pay less for nothing and freeze. And somehow I feel better when I'm warm. And I know it's good politics to stand up and say, I want to break up the oil companies. That's what they want to do. Either horizontal or vertical, whatever. They want to break them up. Because it's good politics to kick the big oil companies around. But is it good for America? I'm on the Finance Committee in the Senate. I'm the only member of that committee who introduced an excess profits tax for oil companies. They made a windfall profit. And I said unless they plowed that back into the business to find more oil and gas, they would pay an excess profits tax of up to 90%. I want to find more gas. I want to find more oil. I'm tired of being dependent on the Arabs for our oil supply or other countries for our oil supply. We've tried to pass legislation to give farmers a priority because people have to eat, we have to produce, and we have to harvest, we have to process the food. But unless we do something, and do something soon, we're going to be in deep trouble in this country. The Democrats and the Congress, the liberal Democrats, all they can think of is rolling back the price because that's good politics. Well, if you roll back the price and can't get the product, what do you have? You got cold feet, but you have cold everything else. Unless you heat some bricks and put them in bed with you. And so I just say to, in a nonpartisan way that I've started, because I don't want to come on too strong, and it's good to be here. It's good to be anywhere if you're Republican. I was chairman of our party during the Watergate, and as I said on TV, I always hasten to add that the night of the break-in was my night off. But that's a burden of the Republican Party. We're willing to swim with it. We just want to drown with it. We get a little tired of the innuendo from time to time on the other side that somehow we're all tainted with Watergate because we happen to be Republicans. And that smacks of something else. That's behind us. We are a responsible party. We want to build a strong two-party system in the state of Texas.